Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Last week we began a new sermon series on the Spirit-empowered church. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we see that Jesus says to the apostles, wait for the Holy Spirit. For when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Jesus wants us to be a Spirit-empowered church around the world that is leaving a mark for Him, that is transforming the cities and the nations for His glory. We're not here to simply mark time. We are here to serve the mission of God. And the mission of God is that everyone that is lost shall be saved. The mission of God is that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. The mission of God is that every family will come under the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so the church, we took time to understand, is not a building. It's not a denomination. But the church is a movement of God's people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, that are serving the purpose and the mission of God. The church is the agency of God, serving and advancing the mission of God that Jesus began and that we are simply stewards of in our day. And that mission is absolutely impossible without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. May the 24th, it's going to be Pentecost Sunday. We'll be celebrating the day that Jesus launched the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are trusting God that on that day, there'll be such a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Watoto Church. God is up to something. We get to be a part of what He's doing, but we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're reflecting in this season on the church that Jesus is calling us to be. And we asked ourselves a great question last weekend. If Watoto Church were to close, would our neighborhoods notice? It's a question to cause us to reflect. A question to stir up a hunger in us to be used of God in our day. We took time to understand what the church is. Jesus taught about the church. We took time to understand what our identity is. What are we called to be? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And then we took time to understand what the Spirit-empowered church looks like. We say two things. The Spirit-empowered church must be different from the world, but the Spirit-empowered church must transform the world. We have divine power available to us to bring healing to the cities and the nation. The Bible teaches us that the church is Christ's body by which He speaks, acts, and fills everything with His presence. We carry the presence of God. We carry the Spirit of God. We are ambassadors of the Lord. And wherever we go, Monday through Sunday, we bring the presence of God. We bring the kingdom of God. We bring the authority of Christ. Today we want to continue on with our series, and I want to talk to you about the fact that the Spirit-empowered church must walk as light. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 5 in our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read from verse 8 to 11. Some of you have your Bibles on your phone or your tablet, please. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And when you begin to think about the city of Ephesus, where Paul spent 3 years preaching the gospel. He spent 3 years there longer than any other city he had been. And while he is in imprisonment in Rome under house arrest, he writes a letter to the believers in Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus, to encourage them. Now, Ephesus was a commercial hub. It was a place where lots of trade and business was happening, and people came from different cities. It was an important city in modern day Turkey, in Asia Minor at that time. And lots of trade happened there, so lots of people came. But it was also a religious place. People brought their religious beliefs to the community and the city of Ephesus. And the dominant religious activity and experience was the worship of the goddess called Artemis. And people came to worship that goddess. But there was also lots of Greek philosophy being taught. And there were some who were pagans completely. That city of Ephesus had real political influence. It was an important city. There were some Jews, there were Greek, there were pagans, but there were also those that had said yes to Jesus. And as Paul writes to them, he writes to them so that their lives would bear light in the context of the city in which they lived. Some of the things that were happening were occultic practices. It was great spiritual darkness. The Roman government was at an all-time high. Imperial power being used in all its extremes. And Paul writes to them and is challenging them that in the context of that city, their lives as believers needed to leave a mark. So he writes to them, challenging them to be the light in their city. And I hope that as we study God's word today, that you would be inspired and that you'd be challenged to be the light, that the Church of Jesus Christ must be the light in Kampala, Uganda, and in Africa. And so he writes to them, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 11. And he says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." And so Paul uses this contrast of light and darkness to communicate a powerful truth for the church. And that truth rings true today. The church in our day still needs this message. Whenever darkness is used as a term in the Bible, it often refers to the realm of sin and death. It refers to the dominion of the devil. It refers to the ways of wickedness. It refers to the deception of this world. Darkness also refers to the refusal, the insistence, the stubbornness to not live under the righteousness and truth of God. Whenever light is used in the Bible, it talks about the nature of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see Paul writing, and he's calling the church to be children of light. And Jesus thought about this. He said, "You are the light of the world." So this principle about being the light was not only close to the Lord, it captivated the hearts of the apostles and the fathers of the church over different generations. It captured the heart of our founders, Pastors Gary and Marilyn. It is still the burning desire of Watoto Church today to be the light in a dark world. Do you notice with me Paul's incredibly strong appeal? He starts by telling them, "You were darkness." Not that you were in the darkness. He says, "You were darkness." He's speaking to who they were before Christ. Their nature was darkness. Every inclination, every desire, every thought, every pursuit was towards darkness. But he says, now that you've come to Christ, and 2 Corinthians 5 teaches us this, that when you come to Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. Something different is unleashed. There is a spiritual rebirth that happens when you come to Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. So he says to them, you are light in the Lord. Yes, you were once darkness, but now in the Lord, you are light. And he's speaking to their new nature in the Lord. He's saying that you are light in the Lord. Therefore, we must live as children of the light. And today there's a real crisis in the cities and the nations of the world. There's a real crisis in the church. Where the church that should be the light is having its light dimming. Losing its influence. The world is lost, stumbling over themselves, groping about in the dark, confused about their identity, confused about purpose. They don't know which way to go. They don't know which way to turn. The world is looking for answers. They are moving around in the dark. And in many places, the blind are leading the blind. They are looking for the light. But we who carry the light, the church of the Lord Jesus, are flirting around with darkness, and our light is dimming. There's a real crisis. And so what Paul is challenging the Ephesians to be, God is challenging us to be in our day. We cannot be the light without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to shape us, to form us, to empower us, to bring what this world does not have, which is Jesus, the light of the world. Let me tell you something. Education may stir up new inventions. Political leaders may bring a sudden kind of relief. But only Jesus brings light into a dark world. And we who are the church of Jesus, we who are the people of God, we are called to be light. And so Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 to 11 is really a diagnosis of our day. The world is still in darkness. So what does it mean for us to walk as light? What does it mean for the church to walk as light in the power of the Holy Spirit? Three things. Number one, when we, the Spirit-empowered church, walk as light, one, we will bear the fruit of goodness. We read it. In Ephesians 5, 8 to 11, it says, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good. God is good. And those who walk in his light must reflect his goodness. Now in school, when we hand in an assignment or do our homework and the teachers mark, they always say, good. And when you even have a higher score, they then say, very good. So sometimes our understanding of good feels like it's good. Jesus, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, said, no one is good except God. That's a very high standard. Bible tells us in Genesis that when God made all that he had made, he looked at it and said, it is good. We're talking about something that we human beings do not have in and of ourselves. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We live in a world of injustice. We live in a world where people take other people's lives without batting an eyelid. We live in a world where people are disrespected and mistreated. Where there is no value for human life. We live in a world that is bankrupt of goodness. And although there is some measure of goodness in us, and on occasion you can be good, we struggle to bring goodness in and of ourselves. We are inconsistent. In fact, we are good where it profits us. And even when we are good, the Bible says it's like filthy rags. And only Holy Spirit can transform evil people and make them good, so that they bring the goodness of God. And instead of injustice, justice. Instead of disrespect, respect. Instead of slavery, freedom. Instead of hatred, love. Instead of war, peace. This world is hungry for a good church where the broken are going to run and be healed. Where those who are being abused are going to find a refuge and a safe hiding place. Today, what do we see? The church has become a place where people are told, bring that land title, sow it as a seed to this church, so that the Lord will build something for you. Pulpits are full of bad people defending evil. Organizations are full of Christians who pretend to be sick and do not show up on time. Christians in the community who employ people and do not pay them. Injustice. And people are suspicious of the church. Churches are starting ministries in order to make money. We are looking after orphans, and you manipulate the orphan so that you can buy an expensive car. Holy Spirit wants our hearts to break when we see that and have a desire for the goodness of God to begin coming through our lives. Because let me tell you something, a church that is walking in the goodness, the kindness, the compassion, the mercy of God is a church that cannot be ignored. It is a church that people come running to because they find healing. They find love. They find a home. They find belonging. I pray that as Watoto Church will continue to pursue to be a good church, that we will care for the broken, that we will love the disenfranchised, that we will stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, and that this church will be a refuge, that this church will be an oasis, a place of healing. That kind of church is the church that God will use to spark a revival across a continent. May we be that church in the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, a spirit-empowered church, walking as light, will bear the fruit of righteousness. Ephesians 5 verse 8 to 11. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right. You know, as evidence that God has called us out of darkness, we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, must walk in righteousness. We must walk in holiness. Paul writes to the believers in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 to 24 before he makes this call for them to live as children of the light. He writes to them and he says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. He says to them, in that city where you're living, where there is evil of every kind, where there is corruption of every kind, be the light. Put off your former way of living and dress up in your new nature in keeping with righteousness and holiness. And as the church of the Lord Jesus, in Kampala, in Uganda, in Africa, we need to walk in holiness. We must be countercultural. We must live according to God's righteous standards. And that's why in verse 10, Ephesians 5, it says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And boy, do we need to discern what is pleasing to the Lord in our day. Because the things that were evil are being redefined to be called good. And the things that were good are being called evil. We need the discernment of God to not just go with the flow. We need to be holy. Holy means separate unto God. Although we are in this world, we are not of this world. What do we see? We see pastors stealing other people's wives and building them homes and defending it. And then using radio stations that the Lord has given them for the gospel to attack other pastors. see homosexuality in the church. We see lesbianism. Gossip, slander, cohabiting before we are married, children out of wedlock, lying, stealing. And when we make a And when we don't walk in holiness, we lose our influence. In the book of Revelation, Jesus writes letters to churches. And one of the warnings to one of the churches is that if you do not repent and come back to the place you're meant to be, I will take the lampstand away from you. In other words, I'll take your influence. A church that is pursuing holiness and righteousness is a church that the world cannot ignore, because that church becomes the pillar for the society. That church does not lose its prophetic voice. It is not compromised. It can stand and call the nation back to God. May the Lord restore that to us. Does that mean we are perfect? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And the church must be a hospital, because many people have been broken by sin. They've made bad choices, and life is not working out as it should. We must continue to be a hospital, a place of healing for people who are broken and oppressed by sin. But when they come, we must have the love and the courage to look them straight in the eye like Jesus and say to them, go and sin no more. Last night, I was driving home, and a border man tested me. I was coming into the junction, and given everybody else the space to pass, so it was my turn to get into the junction and turn. And he came flying, no need to be flying. It was like 9 p.m. The road is open, no need to be flying. He comes flying. And I'd entered a bit of the road, but I saw him. I said, no, let me slow down. So I slowed down. And he also slowed down. And he took the opportunity to abuse me with words that cannot be uttered. And I looked at the man, and everything on the inside of me saw a ditch right ahead. And I thought to myself, what if this guy ended up in that ditch? What if I could help him end up in that ditch? Guys, this is one of your pastors at Watoto Church. I was struggling. And suddenly I realized that my accelerator works. So I chased him down. I was flying, he was flying. And we went at it, and then I pulled up a bit in front of him. Then he stopped. I said, today let me teach this man a lesson. So I asked the guy on the back, you know, you jump off. Allow me to drive this man into the ditch. Because he didn't value your life. And these are the kind of people who are ruining this city. And I was angry. But then I remembered the sermon that I'm going to preach today and the sermon I preached last Sunday. And the Lord rebuked me. I said, surely, Brian, surely. And at that moment, you know, I also spoke to my wife. And my wife said, Brian, leave the man. But on the inside of me, there was another law at work. And I battled. And we battle every day. And we live in this struggle. Now, I don't know if that border man comes to a total church. I don't know if there was a church member in that vicinity. May the Lord empower us by His Spirit to live holy lives in every situation. May the Lord help us. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, we cannot do it. Watoto Church, may our story be different. May we not just have a reputation of preaching fiery messages of holiness, but be known as the people who live holy lives. So that this church would have real influence for the glory of God. Finally, the Spirit-empowered church that is walking as light will bear the fruit of truth. Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 11, again we read it, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Truth speaks about honesty, sincerity, integrity, faithfulness to what God has revealed. When you walk in truth, it means there is no deception, no pretense, no hypocrisy, no gap between what we preach and how we live. And for us, truth is not just a sudden idea. Truth has a name. His name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the truth. He is the standard of all that is true. There is no falsehood in Christ. Do you want to know what is true? Look to Jesus and His word. Today people talk about my truth and your truth and their truth. There is only one truth and His name is Jesus. And His word becomes a standard of truth that governs every area of our lives. Paul writes to Timothy, charging him as a leader of the church in Ephesus, by the way, that he handed over to Timothy when he mentored him. 1 Timothy 3:15, he writes to him and says, if I'm delayed, because he had promised to come and visit, said, if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. What is a pillar? It holds things up. What is a foundation? It gives things stability. Take away the pillar, take away the foundation, and everything falls apart. As the church, we must be the voice of truth. We must be the conscience for our city and our nation. We must uphold truth wherever we are. We must fight for truth. Christ is the truth. The church must preach the truth. The Spirit of God leads us into all truth. Because one society is built on a lie that two men can be married, a lie that two women can be married, that society is going to fall apart. Any lie, even in business, your business will crumble. If you build on corruption, it will fall. Pretending to cough like you are sick so that you can get a day off. I can't come today. Believers chopping lectures at the university. Christian brothers dating three girls in the church. Christian sisters sleeping with married men. Why do you have a password to WhatsApp? This world is hungry for people of truth. People that can be trusted. People looking for a church where they're not going to be lied to. Where they're not going to be manipulated. A place that they can trust, because truth gives you trust. And there are so many places called churches in our city and our nation that do not have trust. May our story be different as Watoto Church. In the power of the Holy Spirit. That kind of church, goodness, righteousness, and truth, is a church that cannot be ignored. It is a church that will have impact for the glory of God. It will be a church that the cities and the nations are running to because they've found a place of healing, a place of hope, and a place of transformation. And it will result in the glory of Jesus. Would you give him praise in the house? Lord, we are so thankful for your word. You're calling us to be the Spirit-empowered church, walking in goodness, in a world that is full of injustice. You're calling us to be righteous in a world full of all kinds of evil. You're calling us to be a pillar of truth in a world of lies, deception, and manipulation. Cause us to arise, O God, in the power of the Holy Spirit to be this kind of church so that we would play our part in the healing of cities and nations for the glory of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, you're here today or joining us online and on air, and you find that you are trapped in a life of sin. Your life is not right with God. There is sin. Your thoughts, your words, your actions. You're so far from God. And you feel trapped. Today, please hear the voice of the Lord. That although you are darkness now, if you turn your back on sin, Christ will save you. He came to die for us so that the power of sin and darkness would be broken off of our lives. But you must make a choice to turn your back on sin and say, enough is enough. I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Repent and ask for his forgiveness. He will forgive you and fill you with his Spirit and give you the power to live a life that pleases him. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you so much. You don't have to be perfect to come to him. Come to him just the way you are. He will save you and he will change you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, you say, that's me, Brian. Today I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to be forgiven of all my sin. Just lift up your hand wherever you are. You're lifting it to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Surrender your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Would you lift up your hand? Wherever you are, upstairs, downstairs, here in person, thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Would you lift up your hand? Give your heart to Jesus in the overflow. Would you give your heart to Jesus today? Make him the Lord of your life. Come to Jesus. He will forgive you. You're joining us online. You say, that's me, Brian. I give my life to Jesus today. Lift up a hand emoji in the chat section and type, I give my life to Jesus. You're joining us on air, TV, or Power FM. In that room, would you lift your hand to Jesus? Make a decision today. Say, enough is enough. I'm tired of this life of sin. I'm running to Jesus, who will forgive me, save me, and change me. Come to Jesus. Would you do it right now? Right now, do it. Here in person, would you lift your hand? Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and he's saying, come, come, come to me. Would you come to Jesus? Lift up your hand. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Would you lift up your hand? Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter what people say. What matters is that Jesus loves you and today you will be saved. Lift up your hand. Come to Jesus. Thank you, sir. God richly bless you. And some of us in this place today are saying, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I had fallen back into my life of sin, but that's not the life I want to live. I want to please God. Would you lift up your hand? You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Lift up your hand. Recommit your life to Jesus. Upstairs, Jesus is that hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Would you lift up your hand? Upstairs, downstairs. Would you lift up your hand? You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Thank you, my brother. God richly bless you. Would you lift up your hand? You're making a fresh commitment. You're saying, I'm coming back to Jesus. Here in person, lift up your hand. Online, would you lift up your hand? A hand emoji in the chat section. Type, I recommit my life to Jesus. On air, radio, and TV, would you lift your hand in that room? You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand as high as you can. It's the very last call. Is there anybody else? And they're saying, yes, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. I'm coming back to you. I'm tired of this life of sin. I'm coming back to you, Jesus. Lift up your hand as high as you can. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. You've lifted up your hand. Here's what I want you to do. Keep that hand lifted up and pray this prayer after me. Mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart. And as you pray this prayer, you're making a personal commitment to Jesus. Church, let's all pray together. Let's encourage people making this commitment to Jesus. As loud as we can, let's say together, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,